Silence in court. Clerk, you may swear in the witness.
Yes, my lord. You are Brenda Carroll Bowerman?
Yes, I am.
You are an optician?
An optician, that is correct.
And will you take the book in your right hand and read from the card?
I, S-W-E-A-R-T-O.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, and Joan Sims in...
Stop messing about. Well, this week they told me to come on and say a few words to you. But whatever you do, they said, don't drag it out. So I'll be brief, succinct, and to the point.
Hello, Kenny.
Oh, hello. You're very chirpy today, standing in that very tight sweater. Very full of yourself.
Well, Hugh and I have just had a little holiday.
You went to a hotel in Brighton?
Oh, separate rooms, I assume.
Of course. Rooms 417 and 418.
With a connecting door.
It wasn't like that at all. 417 was in the hotel.
418 was in the annex.
Hard luck, mate.
Still, we did have breakfast together, holding hands across the table.
Yeah. All I got was giggles from the waitress and a fistful of marmalade.
Remember Hugh under the pier? When you took me in your arms and stripped me of all my inhibitions. We kissed, cuddled, caressed, cavorted, and then...
Deck chair attendant came along and told us off.
How dare he? What did he say?
Well, actually, I said, hello, hello, what's going on here?
Douglas, it wasn't you.
Well, I need the money. And you get a free uniform.
Right, maybe so, but I don't think you should wear it in the studio. You're ridiculous in that peach cap.
Oh, I don't know.
Go on, make an announcement, and I'll go and sit down.
In that case, that'll be ninepence. To continue. In the quest for new talent, we again throw open the programme to an up-and-coming youngster. And standing beside me is a young man. I think I can... I can call you a young man.
Well, I'm certainly not a girl.
A young man who is head prefect at one of our leading schools. He's recently won a prize for poetry reading. What are you going to recite for us today?
The Ode to the West Wind by Percy Bysshe Shelley.
That sounds very nice.
It is very nice. Ode to the West Wind by Percy Bysshe Shelley. There was a young man of Uganda who found an elephant on his veranda. So he said to it, please, will you do a striptease? And it did, with the utmost of candour.
That's not how I remember the Ode to the West Wind.
Oh, well, the wind's changed a bit since your day. And my next poem is The Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Oh, very well, but this time I should be listening very carefully.
Yes, that I... The Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. A greengrocer's wife down in Dorset, she kept bursting out of her...
No, I'm sorry. That's too much. I really can't imagine how you came to be head prefect of one of our leading schools.
Well, I'm not anymore, because they asked me to leave.
No wonder. Which school was it?
Cheltenham Ladies' College. And to conclude, here is Sea Fever by John Masefield.
Yes, well, this time, stick to the original.
I'll try. Sea Fever by John Masefield. I must go down to the sea again. To the rolling sea.
And good luck to all who sail in him. This week, Crackerjack and Audie with Mother has a touch of the Espanoles. I'm told there's a lot of it about. So, with a Spanish mantilla stuck in her bun and a geranium... May I go on? Thank you. And a geranium on her hacienda. Here is Senorita Maud Nethersole.
tinies and biggies, too. Here is a tale of old Seville. There was once a tempestuous gypsy dancer called Doris. She had flashing eyes, flashing teeth, and her blouse was two sizes too small. And she was so poor that she hadn't two castanets to rub together. So when she danced, she had to keep saying, click, clickety, click. And as she had no shoes, she often shouted, stamp, 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 as well. Which was very confusing for passing tourists, who thought she was some kind of mobile post office, and often shoved a postcard into her mouth. Now, the governor of Seville was a terrifying man, known locally as El Mucho Toro, which means a whole lot of bull. And when he heard what was going on, he cried, I really can't have these gypsies camping all over the place. But when he caught sight of Doris's zapatillado, he stopped short in his tracks, and who can blame him? Well, when she had finished her dance, there were cries of Bravo! And El Rubbish! And the governor was so astonished that he said he'd grant her any favor she cared to ask for. And Doris said, I badly need a pair of castanets and a pair of shoes. And the governor, who was watching her closely during her dance, said, you'll badly need a pair of something else as well. So, please accept these wrought iron earrings as a reward for making an old man happy. So now she no longer shouts, clickety-click, stamp-stamp. She goes, rattle-rattle-rattle instead. But as they say in Spain, hasta la vista, which means, of course, please take your stuffed olive out of my gazpacho. And now, here's a song about an old Spanish custom. Mind you, they do it in other places as well. But they don't use so much garlic. Upon my balcony, there's a geranium that's in a pot. I hoped it's blue. I watered it a lot, but did it blossom? It did not. Beneath my balcony, there rode a gentleman upon a horse. And while he played his serenade, I noticed that his horse was doing something rather coarse. So I left my balcony, took my geranium, and went below. And in its pot, I shut the lot. Then said to it, now grow, and if it does, I'll let you know.
So we come to our regular feature, Feeble Fables, and our story with a moral this week is set in the days of yore.
The days of my what?
Oh, dear, I was afraid someone would have to say that. All right, it's a medieval sketch. Let's get them all out of our system before we start. Mr. Paddock.
Landlord, you wouldn't send a knight out on a dog like this.
Boom, boom. Mr. Williams.
King Arthur, you're wanted on the throne.
Also, boom, boom. Miss Sims.
I am the lady imprisoned in yonder castle, and that's Shavot.
Well, better out than in, that's what I always say. To continue, our story this week is set in the Dark Ages.
My name is Pulse. Ophelia Pulse. My husband, Sir Richard, has been away at the Crusades these many moons, fighting the heathen infidel. Either that, or he was late back from the pub again. Hence began my dalliance with Sir Roger de Lodgely. Dalliance being a medieval euphemism for a right old rave-up.
Ophelia.
Oh, Ophelia.
Roger.
My lady, I bring news of your husband.
You mean he has returned from the Crusades?
No, he was right before. He's just come back from the pub.
Very well, messenger. You may leave us now.
Is that all I care? I've practiced that voice all the week. Come on here doing that on the hunchback of Notre Dame walk. All for one rotten laugh.
Well, think yourself lucky. I haven't had one single titter for the entire sketch.
Oh, Hugh.
Well, it's not fair.
Oh, come on, look. What's got six legs and wears a bra?
Peter, Paul and Mary.
There you are. That's better, isn't it? Yourself. Come on now, do your line now.
Your husband returning? Should he find me here, would cleave me in twain with his broadsword. For he's a huge hulk of a man with shining armour and a vicious bent. And if he walked in here now, he'd square his massive shoulders and he'd say...
Hello. What's going on here, then?
Prithee, sire, your lady and I were just playing around.
A lay?
What? Oh, yes. Playing around a lay.
Then why weren't you on the harpsichord?
We were, but it got a bit uncomfortable.
Have I been deceived, duped, cuckolded, humiliated, have I, Ophelia? Am I?
Yes. What do you expect when you're always off on these crusades?
Where's the magic gone out of our marriage? 10 years we've been married. 10 years. Don't the 3 weeks we've spent together mean anything?
There's only one solution. We must meet at the tournament tomorrow and fight to the death.
Very well. I shall see you there at noon.
Well, make it 8:30, could you? It takes me hours to get my armour on.
The next day, my mouth was dry as I watched the two men position their horses for the joust. Then the flag was lowered, and from opposite ends, the pounding of hooves brought the two men closer and closer together. And in the middle of the field, they missed. Both men turned round and tried again. Sir Roger, my lover, had fallen. I rushed to his side.
It's too late, Ophelia. I'm dead.
He's right, you know, he's dead.
And the moral of this week's story is there's many a true word spoken in joust.
Now here's someone who, whenever he counts his blessings, feels he's been shortchanged. I refer, of course, to our problem man of the week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse Partner, and I seem to be one of those...
It's not at all obvious.
Finished. One of those who has been given strange psychic powers.
So, what's the problem?
I'd like to give them back. You see, every night when I go to bed, I get this feeling that Lord Kitchener is trying to get in touch with me.
How do you know it's Lord Kitchener?
Well, it's the finger, you see. And I also seem to hear his voice saying, Clarence J. Mouse Partner, I need you.
I see. I wonder what he needs you for.
So do I. Last Tuesday night, I could bear the suspense no longer. I sat up in bed and I shouted, Tell me what to do, Lord Kitchener! Tell me what to do!
And did he?
No. But the people next door did. They shouted some very helpful suggestions through the wall. So I decided to spend the rest of the night in the garden, in a tent, singing Land of Hope and Glory to create a suitably patriotic atmosphere, you understand?
Very sensible.
Yes.
Any results?
Several, yes. In the middle of the second verse, the tent fell down. You know the verse I mean.
Wider still and wider.
Well, I guess. I continued singing, of course, but shortly after received a sharp blow on the back of the head.
Well, not from Lord Kitchener.
No, from a kindly neighbour who wished to point out that I was bivouacking in the wrong garden.
Well, no wonder his lordship couldn't find you.
Yes, and when I returned home, I found I had another little problem.
Oh, not Lord Kitchener again.
Well, in a way, yes. You see, during my absence, he persuaded my lady wife to join the tank corps.
Statistics tell us that more and more people are making their own wine. Some purchase the ingredients from their local chemist, while the more ambitious grow their own grapes in the window box. In either case, the results can alter one's entire way of life. Take the case of Sid and Rita Dipfinger.
Sid, I'm a bit worried about my sparkling espumentity.
Oh, no, Rita. I hope your airlock isn't playing you up again.
Well, I wish you'd try a sip, Sid. I'd value a second opinion.
In a minute, Rita. I'm just savouring the bouquet of my Chateau Dipfinger.
Well, I don't think that's a bouquet, dear. Looks to me like a bit of mould.
Mould, Rita? Certainly not. Matter of fact, it's a broad bean. If you must serve wine from a saucepan, I wish you'd rinse it out first.
It's matured ever such a lot since yesterday, Sid.
Oh, no wonder, seeing it spent the night on our bedside table.
Oh, don't stop me, oh, you know how it brings all the sediment to the surface.
Don't worry, we can always use the tea strainer.
Seriously, about my asti spumenti, do you think I ought to shove it outside in the area so it can breathe, see?
Matter of fact, Rita, I could do with a breath of air myself. Whew, what with one thing and another. I'll tell you what, Rita.
What, see?
Let's go down the pub and have a couple of pints.
Singers may come and singers may go, but some have that staying power which is the hallmark of the experienced artiste. Which is another way of saying we still haven't got rid of the maxi-length Harris male voice choir.
It's Bona to open up your ear and sing.
It's Bona to hear the Omi voices ring
in harmony. All, and we'd like to send an urgent message to the president of our fan club, Mrs. Winifred Hoist of Crouch End. Come on, wouldn't we? Come
yes,
on.
We would. Yes. Hello, Win, dear. I'm sorry I haven't rung you about my early romances as requested, but they're repainting our phone box.
That's not the only reason you didn't ring her.
No, it isn't.
No. Who got red paint all over his crushed velvet safari jacket while passing the time of the day with a painter?
Oh, I was cross. First time I tried it on.
Not according to the painter. Said you've been trolling up and down in that jacket for days. Days you had been. And tell what it was you offered to lend him.
Oh, I can't. It's too hurtful.
Go on. Tell anybody about
it. I can't.
Get on.
Yes, sir.
Purge yourself.
No.
Purge. Get it out.
No.
You'll feel the benefit after.
No.
Go
no.
On. Go
oh.
On.
All right, then. Well, see, he was doing a bit of painting over his head, you see, and he chanced to say that he wished he had a roller, so I give him a lend of mine.
But it wasn't a paint roller, was it?
No. No.
No.
It's when I used to set my hair. Wrap your eye around this, I said.
Wrap your eye around this. Ryle, you great custard!
And what vocal gem are you going to astonish us with today?
Well, Chuck, we've had lots of requests for something really butch and stirring.
Yeah.
So, what have you come up with?
The Grasshopper's Dance by Bucolosi.
I hope you're not going to dance as well.
In these eels, oh, you must be joking.
Nothing he can do to walk, can he?
Oh, grasshoppers live neat garden plants, but if you ever seen grasshoppers dance,
well, you won't very often get the chance, cos grasshoppers don't like dancing.
They try to learn, but they can't be taught, cos their legs at the front are extremely short,
and the ones at the back are a different sort, so grasshoppers don't like dancing. Yeah, with all them different sorts of legs, which trouser pocket do they keep their latchkeys in?
I always keep mine in my handbag.
Oh, stop banging it out. Come on, go on and send it. Come on.
Grasshoppers never can decide how to do a tango or a fairy glide.
They found that every time they tried, suddenly they'd all collide.
Bang! Chuck! Now on their backs with their daddies waving in the air. Picture the scene.
Oh, better not laugh. We won't be able to finish the song.
They'll jump in the air on New Year's Eve. They'll join in and sing Sweet Jetty Fever.
I'll play them a waltz and they all just leave, cos grasshoppers don't like. Here, do you reverse?
Well, if you'll be the fella, I'll follow.
Dancing!
And now it's time for the Smith Report. Later in the programme, we'll be discussing long-distance lorry drivers. Are they taking things too far? But first, here is the forecast for southeast England. The weather will be cloudy with slight dull drizzle, but there's a chance of brighter drizzle later. Which brings us to this week's main topic. The Smith Report looks at commerce. And if you want to know how to become self-employed, the answer is simple. Mind your own business. But what does the man in the street have to say?
Commerce. I never have any trouble with commerce. What confuses me is semicolons.
Well, actually, I do own a factory which makes seaside rock. And I recently made an enormous mistake by giving my head foreman a week's notice instead of sacking him on the spot.
Why was that an enormous mistake?
Well, do you know anybody who wants 2 miles of seaside rock with Get Knotted written right through it?
So much for public opinion, but what are the views of an expert?
As a senior official at the Board of Trade, I consider that decreased productivity is the direct result of women being side by side with men on the factory floor. How can a chap concentrate on the job with these lithe-bodied, full-bosomed young women? Flashing their thighs in the summer. And these mini skirts makes things even worse. If I had my way, I'd have all these girls drop their skirts to the floor.
Films have been released this week on the subject of big business. The United Nations documentary, in which a Russian delegation visits a British factory to compare operational methods.
Tell me, comrade, what hours do you work here?
Well, let's see, like, we start about 9, work straight through to 10:30, then have a tea break. And 10:30, 12 o'clock's an armchair, to 2, 3:30, another tea break till 4, and then at 5 o'clock we knock off.
In Russia, the workers work right through from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. with only half an hour break for lunch.
Well, you never get them through that here, mate. They're already communists.
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Joan Sims and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.